Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday, Dolly.
You're cracking me up. We're going to make this a quick show because it's halftime for the Colts and Cowboys game.
Well, if you say so.
Okay. It's always on a Sunday.
With Den and Lowe.
So, Denbo, the Colts and the Cowboys are playing on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping the Cowboys beat the Colts.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a twist I would never have predicted for you.
For me to root for the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Well, I went to see the Cowboys one time in Dallas.
Oh, how was it?
It was really cool.
What was cool about it?
Well, it kind of the place reminded me of the Silver Dome. It was huge to start with. And it had a dirt floor.
Interesting.
Yeah, like packed down, like hard dirt, like dirt that was packed down so hard it was like concrete, but it wasn't. It was dirt. It was a dirt floor.
Interesting.
Which I thought was interesting, but it was Texas, so maybe they don't need to pour cement because the dirt's really hard.
Or maybe they run mudder events or, you know, those big, what do they call those big wheel things with a jacked up four-wheel drive?
Well, yeah, but they do that. They do that here at Ford Field, and that's beautiful indoor.
Maybe they have rodeos there. They're
Cowboys. Oh, yeah, they probably do have rodeos there.
Yeah.
Well, this was back in the 90s that I went to a game, but I was so shocked when we walked out of the parking lot, and I think the whole parking lot was dirt, too. But it like in, right off of a freeway, so in a pretty urban area, part of Dallas. But I was so shocked that when we walked in, that it wasn't like concrete or asphalt like we're used to, you know, where all the concessions were and all that. It was this packed down dirt. So maybe that's, maybe you're right. Maybe, maybe it was because of rodeos.
Yeah, maybe.
I've gone to rodeos before.
Well, I knew you when I met you, probably. I wasn't your first rodeo.
You're so silly. Well, no, I said I've been to the rodeo. That's something we used to do.
You've been the rodeo.
We've been, I am the rodeo. You're the rodeo.
Yeah.
No, I've actually been to a rodeo or two. Because they used to have rodeos here in Michigan in different parts of the state.
Yeah.
And when we were kids, you know, we'd go to the rodeo. My favorite thing was the bucking bronco, where they put the cowboys on the horse and they pull that belt tight on the belly of the horse.
It's not on his belly.
Well, where's it at?
It's on his Johnson. That's what makes him buck. It hurts.
What? It's on his Johnson?
Yeah, it's on his penis.
No.
Yes. That's what they do with the bulls, too. That's what makes them buck.
I thought it was because it was, like, down below, but I didn't realize it was... No.
Yeah.
Dunbo, you're making me have to do a freaking internet search.
Look it up.
Bucking bronco. And then I'm just going to type in the word strap.
Bronco strap.
The facts about flank straps. Okay, well, what does a bucking bronco strap do? It's a sheepskin lined or padded leather strap. Flank straps are not laced with spikes or other irritants. A rider is seeking a high score as possible, and to harm his horse or bull will have the opposite effect. Since half of a competitor's score is taken on the animal's performance, it is in the cowboy's interest to treat it well. See, you make up this shit all the time. The strap is adjustable to fit each individual horse or bull, but is not possible to make an animal buck simply by adding a flank strap. If this were the case, then any animal could be bucking stock. The flank strap enhances the bucking action and helps the animal kick outwards and upwards, but it doesn't force the animal to buck if it doesn't feel like it. While the animal stands in the chute, the flank strap is loosely fitted. It's not tied around an animal's genitals. God, you make up so much crap. I'm just so glad there's such a thing called the internet where I can look this shit up and know that you're a fucking bullshitter. While the animal... Okay, so I said a horse shitter, yeah. This is a physically impossible This is a physical impossibility, and those who claim this need an anatomy lesson. That's hilarious. In human terms, the strap is similar to wearing a snug belt around the waist. As the gate is open and the animal leaves the chute, the strap is pulled snug to set limit depending on the animal. The limit makes sure the strap isn't pulled too tight by accident. When the horse or bull feels the strap tighten, they know it's time to buck. So they're trained, these animals are trained to buck. God, you're so full of crap right now. I feel so... And you have this sheepish look on your face.
I just...
You look like a little kid right now, just like you get your hand caught in the candy jar.
This is what I used to do to my brothers.
Make up stories?
I'd make up stories, and I would make some fantastic story, and then I would wait patiently for one of my brothers to repeat the story as if it was fact.
I think you thought this was true. This is what you had in your head, and you think this is true shit.
I thought this was true.
No. Why would you think that? Oh, my God. I knew it wasn't.
Well,
it's something. Because I've been to some rodeos.
I have, too.
You just had it in your head that it was around their cock.
Yeah.
That's just nuts. They would never do that.
It could be around their nuts. That would be inhumane. Maybe we should look that up.
That would be inhumane. So what's interesting to me is that the scoring is based not only by the cowboy's performance, but the horse's performance in bucking.
Yes.
And that's their horse. They're not on some random horse.
Right.
They're on their own horse, so that does this. Well, anyways, oh my God, I might have to take a break already.
Well, it was a source of great delight when one of my brothers would repeat some fantastic tale I've told them. And then I'd say, where did you hear that? That's crazy.
Or your parents. They'd tell your parents the fantastic story, and your parents were who told you that?
No, I never gave them a tale that they would tell to my parents. It was always something that they would keep secret.
Oh, that's just horrible, then, Bo. Well, anyways.
Well, I'm just delighted that we've had the opportunity to talk about rodeos and horse straps or whatever.
Flank
straps. There was a pretty regular rodeo outfit in, of all places, Rosebush, Michigan. And they were sort of out on the edge of the Rosebush Exchange. So every once in a while, they would have some kind of need for a special service circuit out there. And I can remember the frustration in making sure that we could get facilities out there to make it work for them. And it would just be for a short period of time they would have that. And I don't know if they were having a rodeo or a sale or some kind of special event, but...
Something to do with rodeos.
Yeah. And you'd hear about their rodeo company from a variety of county fairs around the mid-Michigan area.
All right, well, let's move on to something else in our culture. So today, I went with my niece Justine to go see the Van Gogh exhibit at the Detroit Institute of Arts. And I'm not talking about this immersive Van Gogh that's in Grand Rapids right now that was in Detroit in the summer. I'm talking about an actual exhibit with actual original works of art, 74 different pieces. Some of them were painted with oil. Some were sketched out with pencil, charcoal, black ink. He even had some watercolor there. And these works of art of Van Gogh, original pieces, came from all over. You know, museums in Scotland and Paris and New York and Chicago, and also from people's private collections, like from South America and different countries around the world. So they didn't give the name of the collector, but they would say, like, this is from a collector in Sao Paulo or something like that. But just so amazing to see these pieces up close. And, you know, they had like a little thing. I'll show you. I took a photo of Justine looking at these works of art. Let me show you this one picture. Hold on just a second. Let me get to my gallery here. But I want to show you how they taped off. See the tape on the floor by her feet?
Oh, yeah.
A little dark piece of tape that went around the perimeter of the room. But look how close, even that, what is that, 18 inches?
Maybe.
And look how close you can get. And I mean, you can see those brush strokes beautifully and the paintings. This was a painting that he used a pointillism technique.
Yes.
Which was basically developed by Seurat and yes. Signac. There were the two pointillist impression, I guess that was type of impressionism. Yeah. From the late 1880s. So anyways, but this was his, because he did try to, emulate, and he loved being in Paris, of course, and being part of the whole scene there. And he had gone to art school, I believe, in Brussels. So, but anyhow, but if anybody's listening to this and they get a chance, the exhibit is on at the DIA until January 22nd. It's amazing. And it's worth every penny to come down and see it. It is just beautiful.
Well, I've had a great admiration for art. And I think it was a sophomore year of high school, I did a special report because I was sick with hepatitis and missed the last few weeks of school. And so I got to finish at least one of my grades over the summer by doing a project and studying art that was available to me in Tampa, Florida, at the University of South Florida. And so I've always appreciated art. I loved Starry Night by Van Gogh. And I don't know, was that there?
There was a Starry Night. There was actually several Starry Night paintings. The one that we saw was called Starry Night Over the Rhone.
Oh.
So it was the stars with the blue sky and the swirls, but it was over the Rhone River. And across the river, there were buildings with light. And then there was actually on the water, there was now the lights showing from the buildings with the windows coming across the river. So that was super cool. But
how
it was
cool.
Not the Starry Night, which okay. is the one that everybody talks about is so famous. So one of the things that's super cool about going to the DIA or going to any museum, for me, my second favorite thing besides looking at the exhibits is to go to the gift shop. So do you want to see the things that I bought, the little things that I bought from the exhibit, from the gift shop?
Well, if you'd like to show them to me, certainly.
Here, hold on to this for a second.
Well, I'll stare at this picture that you've got on your phone.
Of one of the paintings, yeah. Okay, so let's see. First of all, I got this. This is a cocktail book. Exhibit is called Van Gogh in America. And this is a cocktail book that has all the paintings that are at the DIA.
Wow.
So that's going to be super cool.
Very cool.
And then, hold on a minute.
Close
your eyes.
She's taking her top off.
Well, because I got to put on this other thing. Close your eyes.
Don't tell me you got a tattoo, Van Gogh tattoo. No.
Close your eyes.
Okay, my eyes are closed.
But sort of not really. But I got this kimono top.
Oh my.
That is
You don't have to button
it's from
it.
The irises. This is from the irises.
That's
painting.
Very cool.
And I thought this was kind of cool.
It's very cool.
I have to go look in the mirror, so you talk while
it's
I'm
more
right
cool if you would just unbutton
right
it again
here.
Yes, I do.
Well, I could wear it unbuttoned.
Yes. So I'll describe this
you
for
think
everybody.
It's more cool if I wear it unbuttoned.
Well, I do, of course, but I would want you to wear it buttoned if somebody else was around.
It doesn't have any bust darts, so I don't know. Maybe I should wear it open, but...
Well, it's really interesting because the flowers are super-sized.
Well, this is from the painting called The Irises.
Right. That's what flowers I'm referring to.
You can see, like, the brush of it. And I almost bought a Starry Night top.
And they
also had Starry Night boxer shorts. And they had Starry Night, like, pajama pants for girls.
Do they did he do any with big lips on them like the Rolling Stones?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But, I mean, I thought it was kind of cool, you know?
If I could finish describing this for anybody that's listening, the right half of the back and the right half of the front is completely black.
Yeah, so one half is black and the other half
is the flowers. It's very cool.
Yeah.
And the sleeves, of course, are the flowers.
The painting, yeah. And then there's like a 3/4 length sleeve that, yeah. So it's kind of cute.
It is very.
Anyways, I thought I could wear this maybe over the holidays or something, just as a little.
Well, you could wear it over here if you wanted to.
Okay, now I got one more thing.
I say you got two things.
Let me put my shirt on because you're so
distracted.
Easily distracted, husband.
I am easily distracted.
I guess the best thing about being my husband is that you get to see my boobs all the time.
I do, and I appreciate it every single time.
You're so crazy.
You have no idea how much I appreciate it.
Oh, it's a good thing boys don't have boobs. They'd be playing with it all the time. Okay, then that's a fact. This, and I think I'm going to send this to Tracy. Because she would have, you know, she and I have been to the DIA before, but she doesn't live here anymore. But I got this. Don't say it. Don't say what it is because it'll be a surprise.
Cool.
Isn't this
that
cute?
That is so cool.
I think she could put this on her shelf, so she's going to have to listen in. Maybe she'll cover her ears and we can say what it is.
No, no.
I'll just mail it to her.
Yeah, I would just
mail
it to her.
It's super cute, and I'm just going to mail it to her. So we'll have to talk about that one another time.
Yes, we will.
After we know that she's listened to this. So
that is, I'm super impressed with that.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah, she's going to love that.
Yeah. So anywho, I'll put it in with her Christmas present. So that's what that's all about. And then here I brought the little booklet home. And I thought maybe if you're interested, we could go back to the exhibit. So it's all these different
I am interested, and we're going to have to go back.
Okay. All right. So, like, that's just about it in a nutshell, then, Bo. That's pretty much what my day was.
So this really reminds me of an event when I lived in Chicago.
The Starry Night over the Rhone River.
Oh, my gosh. That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So when I lived in Chicago, there was a Renoir exhibit at Chicago Museum of Art.
Yeah.
And my family went, and that included my mom.
Cool.
And one of the interesting things, and it was packed. I mean, the town was really turned out for it. And one of the coolest things is when you walked into the main gallery, there was at the far end of the wall we were coming into the main gallery, when we were coming through that door, at the far end was a picture that just completely captured my attention. And so as we worked our way through the crowds and I finally got down to where I could see that picture, it was a little girl. And as I got close enough to see the brush strokes of that picture, it was really an emotional experience.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You can just feel the energy that went into creating that.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
And so I told my mom at the time that I was standing in front of it that he must have really loved this little girl.
Wasn't it a relative's child?
Yes,
or
it
like
was
that?
A friend's child.
A friend's child, yeah.
And so on the way out of the museum, we stopped at the gift shop like you did today. And here's this big book. And so I'm perusing through the book and here's this picture. And that's what the story underneath the picture said, is that this was the child of a friend and that he adored that little girl.
Yeah, and they were like on a picnic or something. You know, they were out. It was outside.
Yeah.
I know exactly which painting you're speaking of. Yeah. Well, this whole thing has just been wonderful. And then after we went there, we went to Coriander Kitchen and Farm for a little nosh.
And what was that?
Coriander Kitchen and Farm is on the channel that leads out to the Detroit River on the far east side.
Yeah, I don't care where it is. What did you have?
Oh, what did we eat? Oh, okay. Yeah. So let's see. I started with it was wild rice mushroom lentil soup.
Oh, my.
It was so good. Delicious. And let's see. Justine had a chicken stew that had white beans and kale. It was so yummy. And then it came with a square of cornbread, jalapeno cornbread.
Oh my.
So that was really good. And it came in a bowl, you know, like in a bigger bowl.
Sure.
And then I got their dry aged beef. What do you call it? Grass-fed dry aged beef hamburger.
Yeah.
And that came with homemade pickles and a slice of cheese and then two pieces of romaine lettuce. And then it came with their own homemade spicy kind of like Thousand Island sauce. And then we had to get their French fries because they're homemade and they were made in duck fat,
Oh boy.
which is the only way to make pommes frites, is to cook them in duck fat.
That's what
So
makes them French, right?
sorry to all the vegans out there and all the plant-based eaters, but those fries made in duck fat are the best.
Well, and so was that burger with a bun, or did you have it
It
bunless?
did come with a brioche, but I took the top off of it and then I had to have a bite because it had been grilled
I love it
with
when you take the
butter.
top off.
So I did have a little bite of the top part, and then I just ate the meat and I left the bottom bread because I was trying not to have bread. And then for dessert,
Saving room for
well,
dessert.
we have to.
Sure.
We had or I had this, and she had a bite. Justine, you know, she doesn't eat sugar, so she's of course super lean. I ate all the sugar, as you can tell. But anyways, they had their homemade vanilla ice cream, two little scoops, and then it was topped with a thyme crumble and walnuts and a little bit of honey drizzle,
Oh
and then
my
a little bit of
goodness.
fresh thyme sprinkled on top of that. And I mean, that sounds like weird
No, it
to
sounds
have like a
yummy.
thyme crumble with vanilla. It was so good. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yes, we loved it. In fact, Justine said something so crazy. She said, "This is way better than Zingerman's."
Really?
And they
Well.
do like more this type of food. Like they always have a burger. They always have a couple different kind of soups. They have stew. They have salads. It's more of a. I mean, it's not like pub fare, but it's not like big entree dinners. But they do special dinners once a month that you can sign up for that are prefix. But they're like normal menu because they're only open till 3.
Okay.
Was more like a lunch type thing. That's their normal day to day menu. And it was unbelievably delicious.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah. And of course they grow their own stuff. They have a farm, an urban farm in Detroit, and then they have this little restaurant on the channel, and it's nothing fancy. Nothing fancy at all. It's mostly picnic tables. On the inside, everything is repurposed furniture that they've got at, you know, garage sales or, you know, resale shops or whatever. But the two owners are women. One of them is the farmer, and one of them is the chef. And I think the one who owns the farm, I think she might originally be from Traverse City. I'd have to look up. I follow them on Instagram, Coriander Kitchen.
Well, we'll have to go together.
Yeah. But one of them's married and has a child, and I don't know about the other one. But they were getting ready to have a meeting, the two of them. They showed up while we were eating there. They showed up separately. And then they decided to go outside on the patio. And Justine and I were leaving, so we decided to go out and look at the channel. And then they went out onto this dock, and they did like a big yoga, Sun Ra yoga stretch. And then up like this, and then down. And you know, Justine's a yoga instructor. So of course she's like, oh, you know, let's just kind of move away because they're doing their practice. So I don't know if they just were feeling like they needed to stretch their backs or what. But I mean, to me, it wasn't weird. But, you know, I think maybe for some people it might seem strange that they were, but the place was closing. It was like 5 to 3. So I have to cough.
Oh, well,
Sorry.
bless you.
I'm talking so much, I'm making myself cough.
Well, you know why I don't do yoga.
Because I'm allergic.
I'm lactose intolerant.
Okay, you're hilarious.
Well, I try to be.
You are funny. I'm hot. It's
I know
hot
you
in
are.
here in
I
our
know you're hot.
studio.
You make me hot.
It's hot in the studio. It's like the heat's up too high in our house.
Well, please don't turn it down because I'm getting ready to turn in.
And you feel like it needs to be this warm?
Yeah, well,
It's
you
over
know.
70 degrees. It's like 72 in here. I like it at 68.
Well, you know, I had that little incident yesterday and I'm still feeling a
Well, it's
little
not an
cool
incident. It's
today.
not necessarily yesterday. Yesterday you went for treatment, but it's something you've
Yes.
had since Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, yesterday you got your antibiotic, so now it sounds very mysterious.
Well, I had a UTI and I had to go to the emergency room.
Well, because the doctor wanted you to get treatment right away
Yes,
with an
yes.
IV antibiotic, and that Dr. Balan said she was going to call ahead
Yes.
to let them know you were coming over, because that's the only place you could get the drug that you needed
Yeah.
until they can figure out whatever. And then today you got the oral, so it worked out fine. But yeah, we were only there for what, 2.5 hours for you to get a treatment.
It was the quickest ER visit I've ever had.
No, the quickest was when you fell off the hammock and we didn't, and you bumped your head or whatever. Or no, you fell in the closet.
I tripped
That
over my
was the
shoes here.
quickest.
Yeah,
You
that's right. It
fell,
was an
you were
hour
bending
and 5 minutes.
that, and Debbie
That's
told
right.
you, because you're on blood thinners, we'll go right to the emergency room and you will be seen within minutes. And you
Yes,
were.
that's true.
That was the quickest. This one yesterday was the second
Yeah, I
quickest.
didn't bump my head. I wasn't sure if I bumped my head or not, and out of an abundance of caution, Lois and Debbie talked me into it. It took both of them to talk me into going.
Yeah.
And I went, and I survived.
You fought us for a little while, but that's okay. We got over it. It was all good.
Yeah.
We know we have to convince you. We have to literally twist both your arms.
Yeah. I
Oh, you almost said stubborn.
Well, I was about to make a confession till you interrupted
Oh
me.
yeah, make a confession. Ooh, true confessions.
Yes. I am bullheaded and stubborn, and I come by it honestly. My parents are both. What's that face?
That's the face you're making.
Oh, well, both of my parents were very stubborn people.
Really?
Yeah, my mom never gave up.
She's not stubborn,
Oh,
though.
yeah, she
She's
is.
persistent and loving.
Yeah, well, okay, it's interesting. Persistent and stubborn, I think, are pretty much synonyms. My dad also was very stubborn.
I don't know what the definition of the word stubborn is.
Well, you got access to the internet. You can look
Yeah,
it
but does stubborn sound
up.
like, maybe you're not dealing in the world of facts and therefore you can't be easily influenced? I don't know. I mean, I'd
Well,
have to look it up.
you are following your normal practices.
Of what?
When
Looking
you
things
have a
up?
question, you look it up.
Well, yeah, because I got to put an end to all discussion arguments or argument discussions.
Well, I'm not arguing, I'm confessing.
Yeah. Stubborn, having or showing dogged determination not to change one's attitude or position on something, especially in spite of good arguments. Okay, that is not your mother. Your mother is not stubborn. Your mother is open to good arguments. Your mother would change her position on something if there was a good reason. I can't speak for your dad. I don't know if he was stubborn or not. But your mother for sure is not stubborn. In fact, I'm going to call her and tell her I know she's not stubborn.
And you're
She'll
probably gonna
laugh.
narc on me and say, Dennis says you're stubborn.
And then I read him the definition of being stubborn.
And he didn't agree with your
So
argument
you still think
part.
she's stubborn,
I
even though
still
you've
think
heard
she
she's
is.
the even though she's heard the def even though you've heard the definition?
I've heard the
All right,
definition.
well,
I stand by my
I think you
definition.
should call your mother and tell her that she's stubborn.
Well, not tonight because it's getting late.
Not
Although she's
entirely.
turned into something of a night owl in her 90s, she's stays up later, gets up later.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Do
That's
what you want.
when you're in your 90s, you should.
Do whatever the hell you want. Have fun
Well, she
doing it.
wouldn't say it that way.
No, I know. She would never use cuss words like I do. So, but anyway, she's fortunately able to do those types of things. Stay up
Yeah.
late, sleep in late, do whatever she wants, but she still has a lot of activities that she does, so.
Yeah, she's still very sharp
Yeah, for sure.
and stubborn.
You're gonna get in big trouble, and it's not gonna be from me.
That's all right. She lives a little bit further away than you do.
All right, Denbo. Well, I'm gonna say good night.
Good night, Dolly. I love you.
I love you. Kisses.